9 o'clock, so we'll call our meeting to order. Helen, you're going to lead us in prayer, would you? Then we'll have the pledge. Thank you, Helen. Next, we've got meeting minutes, August 2nd, 4th, 6th, and 9th. Any questions or comments?
The motion for approval.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? All righty. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Okay.
All right. Next, we've got account payable.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Questions or comments? I intend to oppose. That's got our Reno trip in there, those expenses, which I was not in favor of. So,
I don't want
to try to pull them out.
Okay.
It's in the middle of the credit card bills,
gotcha.
And it'd be a mess.
Yep.
I'll just oppose it.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. I didn't see any journal entries. Did y'all? Okay. All right, we've got a bid opening. Linda's here. I guess come up here, Linda, if you would.
There's another seat over there, too.
Yeah. For law enforcement supplies and then on landscaping the new judicial center, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I have both of these on the agenda already for Wednesday for award. So if it's okay, they're quite lengthy. I'd like to go through the bid opening and open them all, and then I'll go back and make my bid tab, kind of like I did last week with lengthy ones. We'll start with the landscape. I had two bids on the landscape. The first one is Albert's Landscaping. Second is Covenant Excavating. On the law enforcement supplies, I have Taser International.
This is for multiple items on the law
enforcement. That's correct.
I mean, I think we put a bunch of different items in there. Okay.
Sir.
So for those listening in, what our purchasing person does is opens them right now as a public process, and then she tabulates the bids on a worksheet, and on Wednesday we will go through the worksheets in detail, and then we'll award at that point if we have enough information.
I have Ed Rohr Safety. I have Lynn Peavy Company. Also have DeSantis Holster and Leather Goods. I have Galls.
How do you spell that?
G-A-L-L-S. And then the last one is from Bob Barker Company. That's all I have.
Very good. Only had two on landscaping.
Yes, sir.
I recognized one name. Were they both locals or?
They were. Yes, okay. Sir.
All right. And checked the post office, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Good deal.
I'll get all these put together on bid tabs, and I'll see you gentlemen Wednesday.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Okay, next on our agenda is public comment. We've got some folks signed up.
James Strahan from the assessor's office.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
some confusing issues have come up in the last week to 10 days concerning the assessment process. And the newspaper article quoted some issues and said some things that in the public's eye would probably be confusing. And it appears that's where this is at, is in the public's eye. And we know how that confusion can mess things up. At a meeting held on Tuesday last week, there was many things said that was of concern to the assessor, such as the contact to the Hollister School. The last statement in this newspaper article came through as saying the shortfall is due to the county's assessment process. That's probably so in the fact that the assessor was totally nothing to do with that process at that point. If you're saying the BOE, which is a board that sits over the assessor, had something to do with that, that would be a correct statement. The BOE is not the assessor. The BOE generally, in the hearing process, does not consider the opinion of the assessor as much weight. So the discussion between the assessor and the Hollister School Board went well. The misconception of there was no contacts made on this airport exemption It's a little out in left field. I'm going to read from a brochure here, and it quotes the Constitution about these exemptions. And we'll see. The airport was contacted with an increase notice, and the school had to wait to the last day of BOE to figure out what was going to happen with that exemption. And we all know that that's on record. Someone said that was the assessor's fault. Well, let me read from the Constitution in a format that was put out by the State Tax Commission, BOE learning process. The burden is on the owner, claiming that his property is exempt, to establish that his property falls within the exempted class. Now, this class was given back some time ago. I don't know whether our BOE attended or not. But exemption is not a responsibility of the assessor. The assessor assesses property. And if someone wants to go outside the realm of the assessment process, that is their right. That is their constitutionally given right to go for it. Then it's up to the common sense of the BOE to swallow this hook, line, and sinker, or to go with the law, send it on, if they don't have the knowledge, send it on to the circuit courts and have it established. Now, in all the conversations and all the finger-pointing of the process, nobody referred back to the actions of the 2009 BOE that cost these same entities $1.4 million. This was all done on the last day of the BOE with absolutely not one shred of evidence for them to do that. All the evidence submitted in that BOE was given, substantiated what the assessor did in 2009. But all of a sudden, an action was taken that totally destroyed the assessor's part of the assessment process and having to fix those things for 2011. In that process, we had multiple landowners that property was 50% of their neighbors when the BOE took that action. 50% of market value is what the BOE was to obtain. Well, guess what? They just said 50% straight across the county on any justified increase that was out there. All substantiated, even the people that stepped up to speak against the assessor in 2009 said, we know he's correct on our value, but we just paid too much. That was the evidence presented that the BOE took action on. So this carryover of this process of losing values to entities is nothing to do with the assessor, unless there's a vindictive mode out there at the assessor to want to finger point the wrong direction. Also, in that same process, the legislators passed a law in 2008 that pointed straight to this airport. Didn't need to, because there was court actions out there that was in favor of what was going on with this airport. But then that process, and the term brought up, many closed-door sessions was held in this county, and Hollister School receiving funding was never mentioned. This is a quote from the minutes the other night, if you want to check into that. So this same legislation that passed, nobody seemed to know about. On a private airport, first legislation of its kind was passed. And I told the Hollister School Board directly, somebody dropped the ball. And it was not the assessor that the finger pointing seems to be looking at. I assess property. I don't control levies. I don't make levy adjustments. I do vote on them whenever they come up in my election district. So the economy has driven any bad situations with the districts, and it'll continue to drive it for the next 2 years at least. And next year, 2011, everybody knows the assessor's job will be tremendously difficult to try to be at market value and satisfy everybody, but my job is to be at market value, not the concern of what it's going to do and be in effect of the districts. Because exemptions in Taney County is like taking a drink of water and saying, I don't want to pay taxes. Can somebody get me out of this? And we seem to have volunteers on the BOE to achieve this goal. Thank you.
Okay. Other comment?
Mr. John Logan.
John? Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. You use the term, sir, very loosely. Gentlemen, I thank you for allowing me to come over and speak with you all. You're looking good and healthy, and that's great. I wrote to the commissioners a letter last week. I'm hoping that you received it. Sometimes I don't get them straight through, so I'll just send them through Nikki, and they'll generally get there. So, but what I wrote to you about was the fact that you all were putting out for applicants for the new senior tax to sit on that tax board. And I am very concerned, and I have been very concerned for several years about our tourism enhancement tax board. Now, that tax board controls over $8 million every year of citizens' money. They recently approved a contract with the Branson Chamber of Commerce, which is a fine organization. I used to be on their board for 5 years. That totals out to $40 million of taxpayer money. And I requested, and I requested, and I requested, and I spoke to them. I wrote newspaper articles. I do a cartoon once in a while. I did a cartoon on it. Any way I could do to communicate with that Tourism Enhancement Tax Board that they promised that $8 million per year would always go out for bid. I mean, that just makes common sense in a free society. We don't buy cars. We don't buy desks. We don't do landscaping. We don't do law enforcement, as the young lady opened those bids just a few moments ago, without a bid process. I fought diligently against the tourism enhancement tax the first time it came up for vote. The only reason I fought diligently against that tax was because during that period of time, there was secrecy at the Chamber of Commerce. They would not release data or money, and that's quasi-public money since they receive money from the city and various organizations. I have no problem with the tourism enhancement tax. I have problems when the Tourism Enhancement Board breaks their promise to the voters of Taney and Stone County. I carry oftentimes, because I do some cartooning for newspapers from time to time, and I want to get my story right, I carry a tape recorder. And I have the tape recordings of the people saying, this will always go out for bids. This is not a chamber tax. It'll always go out for bids. I went and reminded that board of those promises. They ignored me again. Three members of that board did recall those promises and refused to vote in favor of going without a bid. I believe in this tax. I think we need it. But I only believe it if the rules are followed for the people of Taney and Stone County. I ask you here today in public, as I ask you within my letter, please put out a request for applicants to that board, the Tourism Enhancement Board, and ensure that all qualifications for that position are met by those applicants. Any questions?
Questions or comments for John?
My comment would be, and I've already visited with John about this, approximately 2 weeks on July the 26th, we had a renewal for the chairperson on that board. And at that time, through the meeting that we had and through the news media, we asked for applicants before we would approve the chairperson. And then we only did the appointment last week after we received no applicants after 2 weeks. And that would be my comment to you, that we did seek applicants.
May I speak?
Sure.
I do not recall in any area publication a notification of applicants for that board. I try to keep up with things. You rascals are kind of hard to keep up with, but I try to keep up with it. Now, I've never seen a public document requesting applicants for the position on the Tourism Enhancement Board. Where was that published?
It was stated before this commission, and I guess suppose that it was taken upon the news media, our request, which is usually covered pretty well by the agenda, that we receive applicants for that meeting, whether they published it or not, you'd have to, I guess, ask them. I don't read the paper all the time for my own personal reasons, and so to tell you that it was in there, I couldn't do so, John. I just know that we, with the minutes of our meeting and the comments that were made here as the chairperson stood before us in request for her reappointment, we asked for more time and applicants to be submitted. So that's all I can tell you. I don't know if the news media put that in the paper or if it was broadcast over the radio. I don't know. So I'm trying to answer your question for you.
Commissioner Strahan, $8 million per year, that's more than I make in 6 months. It's quite a bit of money. And I would think that's a little, I'm supposed to put a smiley after
joke.
That. I
was
kidding.
A joke. Okay.
I would think a position of that magnitude would merit a small ad, you know, like they have on auctions and other public requests. You know, this is a lot of money. And I have nothing against the chamber. I have nothing against that board. But when you promise the people, and it's brought to their attention, and then it's ignored, there needs to be corrections in a free society.
Okay. Other comments for John?
Am I to walk away from this podium with the understanding that it's already been done?
That is correct, yes, sir, to my understanding.
Yeah. It was, the appointment was made on August 9th. That was when the appointment was made for Ann McDowell to serve on the, for our one seat. Obviously, you know, we don't have jurisdiction all over all the seats. We have one appointee.
One seat.
Right.
Would it be out of order for this humble citizen who came to the county seat on a load of pumpkins this morning to ask your honors, is there a way to repeal that vote and allow freedom to reign in our county once again and let applicants apply for that board just like we're doing for the senior tax board?
We can ask our attorney that question.
Well, that's not why I went like this. I just wanted to point out that we do send out the agenda each and every week of the items on the agenda, and Mr. Logan's name is on our to list, so he receives copies of our agenda, and it would have been emailed to you that we were doing what we were doing.
But the question, Bob, is can we repeal? If we've taken an action and we've...
I would have to look at the statutes to see if you can remove somebody. I mean, you've appointed somebody. You'd have to remove them, and you'd have to have cause to remove them and that sort of thing. And I doubt very much whether you could do it unless there's something in the specific statute for tourism and enhancement districts board members. I think that your appointment anyway is one of that's given you... I don't know that... Do you actually have one, or were you given an additional one? You actually have one by statute.
Well, no, I think we were given one. I'm not sure by statute. Sorry.
I believe it's by statute that
we have one.
I would have to look at the statute. Now,
under Robert's rules, I was just going to point out that under Robert's rules, we can't reconsider that vote because you're supposed to do that on the next scheduled meeting. So we'd have to do it from a statute versus the Robert's rules process. So, but I don't know the answer.
And I don't either without doing the research.
And I probably, Mr. Logan and I had some conversation about this, his appearance here this morning, and I probably misled you, sir, on the fact that a vote taken by the prevailing side of a vote has the right to request that the vote be retaken at the next meeting. I didn't give you that portion of the comment. So that in itself, I probably misled you whenever I made those comments to you. And I apologize for that, but it was an appointment which falls under a different category. Am I right there, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So what I told you about the prevailing side and all that, that's true, but not under the appointment of a official, basically.
And I apologize. I'm sure I'm pushing my 5 minutes, but let me add one more thing. Mr. County Barrister, I would think that although some people receive copies of the county agendas, it's not quite equivalent to the New York Times, to where every citizen would see that something is going to happen. And I must confess that I missed that edition of the Taney County Crier, but And I have nothing against the young lady who was appointed. She's a fine lady. But it's essential in a free society to get bids. And I've spoken to you all on this subject before, and I've never heard an answer of why they didn't get bids. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. How about Chris Burnt? Could you speak to us? Would you speak to us? Would you like to speak to us?
To you?
To us. Don't you have us?
I'm asking you if I want to speak.
Oh. Well, the floor is open if you would like.
Good morning.
Sorry to throw you off.
I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to speak. I wanted to come talk to you. We're doing an exercise tomorrow and primarily Wednesday morning at the Branson Convention Center for mass sheltering. We're trying to set up for about 250 people to shelter them there using the actual exhibition floor there to set up. And we will start sometime Wednesday morning. We're setting up tomorrow for it. The intent of the exercise is that an earthquake happens at the Boot Hill, and we get told that several hundred people coming toward this area, we need to provide shelter for them. That's the premise behind it. This is going to be a cooperation between Skaggs Hospital that take care of the patients that need some kind of medical care, medical attention, and the American Red Cross that provides a regular shelter for people that don't need any additional help. And Taney County Health Department is involved. Obviously, we're involved. The ambulance is somewhat involved also. And we're involved as regards to emergency management, not the fire district. And it is actually an exercise that's being watched quite a bit across the state because not too many people have tried to push it for so many people to do it this in a larger scale. Even in larger cities, they haven't tried this. And so it's going to be a pretty big deal. I think we're actually going to end up with probably between 50 and 80 shelterees, I guess if you can call that, that are actually going to have. We may run them through twice. That way we get more numbers, I guess. Because part of what we want to check out is the registration, how we get everybody logged in and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I would like to invite you guys, if you have time to come by, it would be great. Primarily, if you come by tomorrow, that'd be great, but mostly you got to do some work. If you come by Wednesday, you can see what's going on. So I'd like to invite you for that. With that, I also have, I'd like to ask you guys for a favor to see if you can think there's any way we can help with a matter. Skaggs Hospital got this cash to provide what they call an alternative care site. It's not really a hospital, but it's because you don't have your emergency room, you don't have your surgery part, but you would have your beds for a hospital, and it's for 500 people. They got that a few years ago, and it got housed together with the DMAT, the Disaster Medical Assistance Team, that's kind of part with Taney County Ambulance. Well, they had some restructuring, and they no longer will have room to house this and have to be out of there by the end of this month. So we're looking for space to house all this equipment. It's really issued to Skaggs, but Skaggs has to provide housing for it. It takes quite a bit of space, takes 1,600 square feet to keep it. And I was just wanted to throw this out to you or anybody else that may, and it has no money for it, so you can't jump up that we rent a bunch of storage units or something to keep it in there. There's no money for it. But if anybody would know where we could store that, it would be great, because if we cannot find a place to store it, we'll simply lose it. And it's going to be stored somewhere where people say, oh, yeah, we have space to store it. So it would go probably Greene County or somewhere else.
Chris.
So we would like to keep it here in Taney County.
Have you checked with the Branson Underground?
No.
The Branson Underground has been gracious in their offers to store different things, even for the county and otherwise, and I would think that would be an excellent place that when you have that many square feet needed, that would be an excellent spot to consider the storage of that.
Okay. Can I get with you? Who do I need to talk to, or some one of you?
I mean, I've got names too, so I got a few names. We'll talk about it after this.
Okay.
But I've got a few names you can contact.
Okay, I appreciate your help
there and another place too.
Okay, that'd be great.
Who all's participating in this exercise? Like health department?
Health department, Taney County Emergency Management, the ambulance is somewhat involved, Skaggs Hospital, Red Cross, Stone County Health Department. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Branson Police is providing security for it. So quite a few people.
And what time Wednesday?
We will start at 8, and it will go probably to about 1 or 2, and we'll start breaking down. So okay. Any time in the morning, if you could come by, that would be great.
Mr. Fennell?
Yes, sir?
I would like to adjust the agenda to ask a question of Mr. Burnt about a burning band.
Okay.
And I'd like to know if we have several citizens that have called me in the last week, and actually one of them had said that a fire department person had told them that the county commission had to have an ordinance that would apply for a certain period of time for a burning ban. We've had some, if you want to call so-called wildfires, that have been controlled by the fire departments in a rapid pace, which has saved some buildings and things like that, some homes. And so it's my request this morning that if that is the case, and I thought maybe you might know if that be the case, that we take under consideration a burn ban ordinance for Taney County until we receive some adequate rain to.
Yeah, the real issue with the burn ban is the enforcement of it, because I think technically under the statute, a fire district, as us in Western Taney County, we could probably pass an ordinance to do that within our own fire district, but how do we enforce it? It's just, that's plain the problem. We would need, obviously, the sheriff department have to go out there, deal with it, and then we have the prosecutor to back it up. If that doesn't happen, it's all for none. And, you know, the other issue is this open burning has been a hot issue, I think, in the county, and especially in the more rural area you get it, the more of it becomes an issue. And my feeling, and I think I am speaking for the fire district on this, we do not want to tell people you cannot burn, because many times they do a lot of good by doing it, if they do it correctly. The problem that we run into is in conditions like right now, when things are getting pretty dry, the only thing really that has saved us so far has been the high humidity. That's what slowed the spread of fire down. But when we have fires in these days that are just set to be set, there's no intentions at all to control it. In fact, I think their thought, several fires that we've had recently is, fire department will come put it out eventually, so I just set it and it'll burn off as much as it will until the fire department gets it put out. So that is obviously an issue, plus there's a cost involved, there's a safety involved, and I mean, like you said, so far we have protected every building there, but you know what it's like to lose a bunch of fence, you know what it likes to lose power poles that get damaged in it. I mean, there is still damage there. So it is an issue.
And you're aware of it. Two of these locations are close to big transmission lines that run all the way across, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma and everything. So I think that it's basically the concern of the citizens that it's time that we do something until we receive some rain, because I think you have had controlled burn calls reported, but there's been nobody give their name or anything that they were going to, they'd call in and say, we're going to have a controlled burn, and then just hang the phone up. And so.
And they have no intentions or no means to control it by any means.
And so I'm concerned for the citizens, as hot as the weather was, and we're going to continue to have 90-degree weather, that we take, if it's your responsibility, that's what I'm asking this morning, if it's your responsibility, but I think one of the firemen that was working this said that they thought that the county commission would have to pass an ordinance. I don't want to fail on my duty to do so. And when you're talking about the prosecution of these individuals, that gives the right to somebody that is a little bit of a fire bug, or like these people starting these fires and expecting the fire department and putting those people in danger, not only the homes, but the fire department firemen themselves, is a concern to me. And I would, if it's your responsibility, I would request it from you. If it's our responsibility to have an ordinance, then I would like to know, and I would like to talk, to have it in front of the commission here that we implement it on an emergency basis.
I'm not the lawyer here.
Am I being asked a question?
I believe Danny's asking, is somebody.
Is it our responsibility, or is it his? And that's where I'm at. If
who has authority, or do we have responsibility? Do I have authority is what I should say, to proclaim no burning?
Well, you have authority under health and safety generally. I'd sure have to look at it, and it'd be a good idea to have 24 hours notice, although there was an amendment, motion, I guess, to amend the agenda. You still should post before you bring up something like this at least 24 hours in advance. It'd give me a chance to do some research if you want me to do that on the issue. If it's an emergency, I can look at it a little later this morning if you want. I'll do what you want.
There's been numerous fires, and on a daily basis,
yes,
basically.
We go there daily.
So if someone would happen to be injured or someone would happen to be hurt between now and the time that we could get it done, I would feel bad about it. I was waiting till this morning because I knew the news media would be here and that we could maybe take some action on an emergency. I didn't find out that the quote had been made by a fireman that it was our responsibility till this weekend when I got calls. So this is my first opportunity to do so. If we have any authority whatsoever to do so, I'm willing to make a motion that we do so.
Well, I think what we need to do is just assign Bob the task and get it on his list as fast as possible and see if he can't see what our jurisdiction is. And I mean, it's not so much making a rule, it's the enforcement part of the rule.
I think you probably have authority to do it under the general health and safety ordinance abilities under the statutes. It's just a matter of writing it and getting it passed, and then, of course, as you said, enforcing it, and how are you going to enforce it? But that'd be up to, I guess, the sheriff's department to enforce the no-burn order. So, I mean, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah, the one thing I want to throw out there, I don't know that we want to just that flat-out no-burn thing. That worries me a little bit. I think some people are going to be upset. But I think it needs to be focused more on that you don't take control of it. You have no plans to have control of it. Because, you know, I mean, obviously this economy is different, but if somebody has a bulldozer out there and clears some land and has 200-300 feet around the dozer deck completely clear, I don't know why he can't burn. But somebody just goes out, sets fires, and walks away from it, expecting us to do it, that's just a totally different story. If I may throw this out, I appreciate the urgency on this because, yes, it's an ongoing basis, on a daily basis that we're doing this, but if you wouldn't mind, I'll work on this, and if Bob works on this, I have our attorney look into it a little bit too, and maybe we can communicate. I don't know if you want to communicate with Bob or with you, and hopefully get something maybe tomorrow or maybe Wednesday, get something done.
Just as soon as we can, if we decide to do it, and so we can send a press release out so that it can be on the radio and in the news media.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Any other questions, comments? Chris, thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys.
I think we'll probably try to see you on Wednesday morning.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Any other public comment? Mr. Shantz.
I think what Assessor Strahan said and John Logan said was very, very enlightening. And like years ago, we all remember them saying, Houston, we have a problem. I think Taney County, we have a problem. I didn't hear much from you gentlemen what we're going to do. And I may be wrong in this, but can you gentlemen convene a grand jury to look? I mean, something, $8 million and the $500,000 with the seniors? I mean, what's going on needs to be looked into by somebody other than you gentlemen. So can we do that? I don't know, but that's my suggestion.
Okay. Anything else? All right, let's move on to new and old business. We got FEMA, and I see Rob Dalton has had some issue there. You want to come up, Rob? And we got Eddie here. Good morning.
Morning. I guess I'm back again. On the FEMA issue and the battle that I've been fighting, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of alone in this deal. I got a letter back from Joanne Emerson's office basically stating everything and all the information of what I had submitted to them. So it really didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. But the thing that troubles me now and what I've run up against, the last correspondence that we've had with FEMA is after submitting all the information that I received from Eddie at Planning and Zoning that I was told that I needed to do, I believe, by the commission and follow up on all the paperwork to give to FEMA, they sent me back a deal, and I realized that the forms that I had filled out was 2005 forms that I had paid a surveyor to fill and complete. The map that you all adopted was 2006, or as I said before, not all you commissioners were sitting on the commission at the time this took place. But it's kind of tough to request to get out of a floodplain when you fill out forms for 2005 and you adopt a map in 2006 and they have new forms for 2010. And I guess what I'm looking for today is I've looked for before when I came before you is some accountability and some help from the commission side of things to fight this problem. I'm not interested in waiting until FEMA comes up with a new map, or otherwise I wouldn't have spent $1,200 and some already. This last bill for the surveyor and fill out the new forms and do all this, I feel like is a commission's responsibility because I did everything within my knowledge and my power to do things correctly and go in accordance with all the paperwork and do things right to have it dealt with. But when I come up the second time with another $655 to fill out forms that was up to date, it's a little, real troubling to me. And I was visiting with a gentleman, and his question to me was, I asked him, well, if he was in these shoes, what would he do? And he asked me why I was fighting it, why the commission wasn't. And, you know, I guess what I'm here today for is some accountability and some to ask, you know, for you guys' help on this because it is a problem, and I'm seemingly getting nowhere. This time they, and I've thought this before, they feel like that we're close to having it resolved. But I just pretty distressed about the fact that, again, that I filled out the forms the first time, paid the surveyor, and then I had to pay again to fill out the correct forms and to have other work done, which I understand it's not all the commission's fault, but FEMA in itself is a joke, in my opinion. And there may be some good things about it, but in this situation, it's just been a joke from the word go because we've had correspondence with them, and right off the bat, they should have said, hey, you've got the wrong forms. You need to send some new, update some new forms. But that wasn't told, and we just kind of found that out by accident. So it's just a big, big battle, and I'd like to ask the county to get involved maybe a little more and again, some accountability on some of this cost that I'm incurring. So I don't know if y'all have any questions for me, comments.
I got one question. I mean, one of the things we talked about last was we had someone from Senator McCaskill's office contact you, David Roush. I think he sent you an email because I got a carbon copy of it. It says on June 9th, I just want to ask, it says FEMA's request that Mr. Dalton submit the complete topographic map so that they could help support a precise BFE, which is base flood elevation. Did you guys submit that?
Yes.
Okay. It says if FEMA receives the certified map showing contour, they can make an adjustment. Have you heard back from them regarding that? Because what it says in this last paragraph of the email it was sent to you is if they have the detailed information, they can make an adjustment. Which it says the engineers will develop another BFE for the request, for the LOMA request.
Okay. So, all the information they've requested concerning that, they have. The one thing that Jim is troubling to me is after so much correspondence between the surveyor and them on the phone and paperwork and everything, they send me back a letter wanting another letter from the surveyor certifying that indeed there has been updated information, there has been changes and all this. You know, it's just things like that. It's just absolutely a joke.
What we can do, what I can do is after we get out, if I can get the dates of when we sent that information back to them and run it through the senator's office, since FEMA is a federal organization, we have to work with our federal people. And I think McCaskill has been, and we can also work with Joanne Emerson since that's her district too, and see if we can't remind them that we did what we said based off of their email and hold their feet to what they put in writing. Uh-huh. I mean, I think personally, if they're saying their forms are outdated, it's just a stall tactic. So if I can get some data from you, we'll respond to the email I was copied. Carbon copied on, see if we can't see if we can get any movement.
Yes, I've got quite a file at the survey.
I bet you do. I bet you have quite a file. But I mean, at this point, let's try to hold them accountable to what they put in writing.
Okay. It was discussed also about the map, the possibility of it slipping. Mm-hmm. One of their engineers said that it all makes sense, the map that we have submitted to them, that it makes sense that this very well possibly could have happened. Now, whether you could get them to go on record as saying such and admitting fault, I don't know.
Is this a county map that you're talking about? What my question is, Rob, is how involved is SEMA, which puts it on a state level, which gets them to fight for us, versus the situation that you're in with FEMA and trying to do it on a federal level. We receive funding from FEMA on our events that we've had here in the county. SEMA has been extremely slow in response to those. So my question is, if that's a county map or something that's certified by the state or whatever, then I think we hold responsibility, and we may even hold responsibility through our P&Z part of the county to assure that we get this straightened up for you. And it, because there's, as we told you before, you're the one fighting the battle, but there's lots of people out there, I guess, waiting for, you're the one that's bearing the expense and fighting the battle, and there's a lot of people out there that's going to wait and see what you do before they can take action on their behalf. If we've got a map that doesn't read right, there's a lot of people affected. If we have monies that are being spent by a citizen on behalf of the county or SEMA or FEMA, then I think that we have a responsibility, myself, whether how much P&Z is involved in it, I don't know. I don't know whether they have a part for this or not, but I would think that that for the good of our entire county, that this has been prolonged as all federal and state programs are, and I think it's time that that they got involved, and maybe we get involved with your expense, because you're the ones taking on the expense. And I told you, remember me telling you not to pay.
Yes,
before,
I remember that.
But I think not to pay on your behalf puts you in a strange situation, because if something would happen, then there you're set without any insurance and things like that. So
yes, and I remember and appreciate what you said about not spending any more, and had no intentions of going against what you had suggested until this come up. That, and it's kind of one of those deals, you know, if you fill out the wrong deal
right.
and submit the wrong paperwork, you've come a long way to turn around now.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it was going to cost this much more, but it did, and I felt like I had to proceed and get the correct information to them. And I'm not familiar with FEMA. Yeah, I guess if I'm understanding you right, FEMA is just a state level.
That's a state
of
level
FEMA?
Of more or less. It's, a, okay. it's a lot of things have to be approved by them before they go to the federal level. But
and I want to say this too. You know, FEMA was probably started and intended to be a worthwhile deal, and probably had a lot of good help in its time, and you know. But in this situation and in dealing with the folks that we've had to deal with and go through the process, it does, to me, in my opinion, seemingly to just be a joke, and the way they're handling it just troubles me that we have a federal organization that we have to deal with like this. You know, common sense, and seemingly we're losing that pretty fast in the day in which we live. But common sense would prevail and take care of a lot of this. And it's just frustrating to me to battle this and seemingly get nowhere. But and again, you know, we feel like that maybe we've jumped through the last hoop, but I wouldn't guarantee that, because I've stood here and felt like that I've jumped through the last hoop before and haven't. So I don't want to mislead you in any way there. But it is frustrating, and I just wish that some of our officials could understand what they're putting the little guys through, and the common man, and the working man. And if they've made a mistake, you know, if you guys make one or if I make one, hopefully we'll be men enough to stand and be accountable and admit our wrong. But and I feel like that they should be no less, that if their map has indeed slipped and it is wrong, somebody needs to be accountable for their mistake. And I assume that someone paid FEMA some money to develop these, and I'm not sure if that's even true, if they're paid to do this, or if it's just a service provided.
I think it's mandated upon us to provide those if you adopt the FEMA program.
Okay. Who pays FEMA to create these maps? Or is this something that they just do? I don't know.
I'm sure it comes through taxpayer dollars somehow. I mean,
okay.
The cost of creating maps, I mean, it's a statutory responsibility. I think every 10 years they go through this process. I think that's what they said, every 5 years. Or
I bet they get them from the USGS is where they get them.
Okay. So it's all of our money that they're spending, and this is what we're getting.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, do you have any more questions, comments?
I'm writing an email right now to just send it back through the system again, and I'll stay on it from that perspective. I'm curious to hear what Eddie has to say.
I need to tell you several things if I can. This has been a long process for Mr. Dalton and everything like that. Currently, as far as our office is concerned, the form to be used is the MTEZ form, which is, I believe, what we gave at that particular time. We've received no notification of a newer form. If older forms are picked up off of a website or something, that may be a possibility. But right now, if anybody came into our office wanting to remove a structure from the floodplain, we would hand to them the MTEZ form and start that procedure. They fill out those forms. They take them to their surveyor. Now, you've heard, you know, this form was filled out. It was sent in. On page one, the base flood elevation at the lowest adjacent grade was established at 830.5. On page two, when that was filled out, it asked for that same elevation again. It was stated at a different elevation of 830 even, no 0.5. When FEMA runs through this document, they stop when they hit the first error. They send it back to you, ask you to correct that error, and then they'll go on. If they hit another error, they stop. They send it back to you. They don't review the whole form and say there's several errors in here. They stop where they're at. So that's what happened on the first time. The form was filled out. We're using two different numbers for the same elevation, so they sent it back to them for some correction. Made the correction, sent it back into them, and then after that went back into them, FEMA sent back a notification asking for the topo map because there appeared to be some discrepancies up to 60 foot. At that particular time, you heard the argument that the map had slipped and all this stuff had gone on. Now, since that time, the surveyor that filled out this form has come to me, and I have approached two of you commissioners in this matter, that the surveyor actually, when he was converting from meters to feet, made an improper calculation, causing a 60-foot discrepancy. And indeed, it appears that the map did not slip, but it was a conversion error that had happened. So you'll be aware of that as you go. You need to have all these facts, everything like that. So because of that, they need more information, because if that's truly the case, they're trying to establish what really exists out there. Now, this has been long and drawn out. Normally, it does not run into this kind of problems. But it has, because there have been errors in the form and the way they've been filled out. So, you know, be aware of that, that's what's going on, and that, you know, if they can only deal with the data they've got and how it's supplied to them. Mr. Dalton has been drug out for a long time on this, and he has had some expenses, and I think some of the additional expense might not have been there had the form been filled out, you know, properly the first time. So I wanted you to make sure that you had all the facts before you do go off and see who's who and what's what. So.
Eddie, as we provide a service to the citizens through P&Z and our sewer department and every department that the county has, should, when you talk about mistakes being made in the form, mm-hmm. should we review or should we help fill out the forms as a service to the citizens, especially in a case like this where it's so involved with all, I mean, there's several mm-hmm. people that's involved
sure.
in this thing. And so... so far, Mr. Dalton's been the only one that's had it out of his pocket that I know of.
He's the only one on this particular request. Everybody that has done Loma has had that out of their pocket, yes, sir.
Right, but I'm talking about this particular case mm-hmm. and the questioning of all the things.
Sure.
And I mean, if it hadn't have been for Rob, we wouldn't be recognizing as many problems, although it's been brought to us through... other, I think in BOE it was talked about even a couple of years ago about different levels of the contour lines being off
sure.
and things like that.
Sure.
So I'm trying to say this as in the future,
mm-hmm.
if we had someone that had the same problem that Rob had, could we handle it different? Could we have a review process of through our P&Z where the county is involved? If there's a mistake made, we do take responsibility and make those payments that were caused by
the MTEZ form is a signed sealed document by an engineer, and the county does not have the expertise to override that engineer at this particular time unless the county is going to hire an engineer and have them sign and seal the document. Nor would the engineer want the county looking at his work and saying, you know, this is right, this is not right, or whatever. It's his seal that's on there. It's his reputation. It's his responsibility. And if there is a problem with it, it's him that the government entity is going to deal with. We did help Mr. Dalton in several areas as far as additional documentation that he needed to send out, copies of the FERMETS, which is the portion of the floodplain map that he's involved with, attaching that to him and sending some of his, and actually ended up sending his documents off for him. We did review the packet to make sure that everything that they requested at that particular time was involved and was in that packet. The additional documentation, of course, is not normally requested, but due to the errors in the form at that particular time is why they requested the additional documentation. To say we filled out everything, yes, we did. They found a need for more, and when they do that, you have to give them the more, or you just don't proceed.
James?
Yes.
I'm very confused. The federal government don't know what elevation you live, but they discover a 60-foot error themselves. Mr. Dalton didn't provide them the information. They're the ones said the 60-foot was an error. So now, come on. This is nothing but hogwash and craziness on the FEMA's part to play with Mr. Dalton's life. He's trying to keep his family in a home. We're not out there playing for government-owned properties and all this type of stuff. This man's trying to survive by going through a banking process to keep his family in a home, and the government discovers a 60-foot error on something they say they don't know nothing about. Now, this is crazy. This is absolutely, totally crazy on FEMA's part, or they would have got this taken care of with the first application. And if our government is working in that capacity to go through these forms and discover these 60-foot errors, you know where you said we got the elevation maps? From a federal agency provides them to us. So what responsibility is it of Mr. Dalton's in any way, form, or fashion? I would suggest to this commission sitting here today that they make a motion to pay Mr. Dalton all his expenses back for this kind of voodoo government that is going on here with his process.
Again, I've got to believe that Mr. Strahan has made his statements without reviewing all the documents. In order to review this, FEMA has a surveyor that Mr. Dalton has paid out on site who has given them area information that they've looked at, and then based on the calculations that he's supplied to them, they have made their determination something's not right out here. According to the calculations that you've given us, this is way off. So their determination came on on-site information given to them by a local surveyor.
But it's not, Eddie, it's not our responsibility. Look, the thing of it is we received word from the Corps of Engineers that they were going to finally get around to surveying Bull Shoals Lake.
Sure.
Now, how long has Bull Shoals Lake been in existence, and we've got a federal agency that's making determinations off of that that don't even know where their line's at. They've got stakes and everything else all over the ridges and hillsides and bottoms of this county, but they don't know if they're correct or not.
When Taney County adopted the National Flood Insurance Program, they were given the option to have their maps as detailed as they wanted or to go on best known information. Of course, the more detailed you have, the more it costs the county. And the county chose to go on best available information. And so that's what you've got, and that's what we end up with. And that's why people like Mr. Dalton are in the situation they're in, because at that particular time, the county chose to go on best available information. That's why with the recent ability to have the county map with LIDAR, which they did, that FEMA chose to redo our maps, because now they have better available information. And that's why you're involved with the state grant program, because they feel like they can make these maps a lot more accurate. There's also some issues with the way the maps were adopted in that proving out period that could have been done a lot better, in my opinion. And in the future, if we go there, I think we've got some things that'll help, you know, that process along quite a way, so we won't get into this situation. But the county chose to go on best available information, and that puts people like Mr. Dalton in the situation they're in.
I would like to say something about that, Eddie. If the county decided to go on best available information, we are responsible. It's not. Rob Dalton is a good person,
I
but
know
I don't think that he should be such a good person that he pays for everybody else's problem. And so I understand that we have a gentleman here that's incurring the cost for the decision of the county commission to go on best available.
Yes, sir.
So at that, because of that very reason, I'm going to make a motion that we pay Mr. Dalton's bills that he has incurred up to this time and on this situation, because you just explained to me the reason why I would want to do that.
And I'll wait until y'all take action on your motion so that it's open for to speak again before I say anything. So.
Okay. That motion?
I won't be able to second it.
Before I would second it, I would have to look at all that's been involved, because Rob's not the only one that's been involved. It would not be right to pay one when there's been numerous folks in similar situations, in my opinion.
Have they got any expense? I mean, I know of numerous people that's questioned, but none of them have spent any dollars that I know of.
I was thinking that there'd been 10 or 20 folks over the last...
You have a motion on the floor, gentlemen. I think until it's either seconded or dead, I'm not available to be spoken to.
Okay.
It's died without a second. So.
Okay. Everyone that has been involved with the Lomas, and I think I've given you a list of all that at one time, and it's quite an extensive list. Everyone has gone through the same kind of situation that Mr. Dalton has had, with the exception of the additional information that's been required. Now, what they paid their surveyor, I can't tell you, but my guess is nobody got out any cheaper than $600 or $700. I would think that would probably be the cheapest. I don't know. But every one of those has had an out-of-pocket expense.
Can you make a guesstimate? Are we talking 10 or 20? Or?
Oh, no, sir. I think we're probably talking up in with the book that I've got, up in the 35, 45 range, something like that. When the maps were issued, planning and zoning did not visit every site. There's no way they could. There was a lot of things that I think could have been done a lot better. And as we entertain the possibility of new maps coming in, I think that as a county we need to do things a lot differently, and that we need to notify each and every property owner that there's been a change as far as this concerning your property, and give them the opportunity to look at it. And if they choose not to, then they will end up in a situation similar to what Mr. Dalton is possibly in the future. But at least they would have been notified that, you know, this is something you need to look at now before it costs you money down the line.
Okay. Got another speaker?
Like James said, sounds to me like somebody's passing the buck. Whether it be coming from, I'm not here to take sides, but whether it be coming from our planning office, zoning office, whether it be coming from the federal level, the state level, but, you know, we've got four or five different groups of people involved with this, and yet here sits a citizen with his hands in the air pleading for help, and nothing's being done. And I've worked in several different situations throughout the county on matters where the citizens are having their hands in the air and can't get anything done. It continues and continues, and that's what I fight for all the time, is for accountability, for transparency. Let's get this worked out, whatever we have to do to make it right, and whether that comes from the commission, whether that comes from the planning office admitting they made a mistake, or whether that means, like Danny suggested, we pay this man and help out the citizen of our county. I think we have a responsibility to do that. And whatever means we have to do it, let's do it and make it right so that this man can have what he needs and move on with his life and not have to fight with FEMA and with planning and zoning. This shouldn't be a big, long, drawn-out argument. We should be able to sit down as common people and citizens of this country and somehow come to a conclusion and wrap this all up and move on. It shouldn't be a long, drawn-out process, and I don't care who's right, who's wrong. But somebody, all I'm asking is somebody step up and take responsibility, and let's move on. That's all I have to say. Thank you, gentlemen.
Just to clarify one more thing, Mr. Dalton and I are not fighting, as far as I know. Mr. Dalton's been in my office several times, and we've tried to help him and to get him all the information that he needs. Unfortunately, he understands, as I do, this is a FEMA process, and they make the rule, and right now he is waiting on their last judgment, whether they're going to need anything else or whatever the case may be. My office has tried to provide Mr. Dalton everything that he needs and in a timely manner and to give him proof that we have done that. Now, I can't say from his perspective that that's the way he sees it, but that's what we've attempted to do. And as far as I know, we're on good standings. We're not arguing or anything like that, so just make sure you know that.
Okay. Rob?
Thank you. Eddie mentioned about having all the facts, and if I've not told you all the facts just as they are, then I'll will correct myself, admit to that. But one of the things that I think that Eddie's failed to mention here on the facts is the discrepancy, and I believe that I came before you guys as a commission maybe and reported that on the surveyor when he filled this out, there was a discrepancy in the conversion from feet to meters. That indeed did happen. It was at that time that they realized that all the forms that they had filled out was the 2005 forms. That's facts, because I can go to the file across the street from the surveyor's office and bring them to you, because I looked at them Friday, I believe it was. I went over there and reviewed my file and looked at them, and right at the top of the forms in the right-hand corner, it's this year 2005 is there, that those forms are good through. The new forms, I believe, are good through 2010 September, or maybe 2011. But it was at that time, and yes, the surveyor did make a mistake in conversion from feet to meters, and it brought on a lot of questions through FEMA, and we understood that. But that was the point where the wrong forms, we discovered the wrong forms had been filled out, and they had to get new forms. Those original forms is the one I received from the office and walked from planning and zoning right up there to the surveyor and given them those forms. Now, I appreciate your kindness and your understanding and the motion that was made to pay these bills. Now, I want you to understand this, and you get all the facts, and if I need to bring you the file and the folder and show you the date of the forms and all that, I can. But before you make another motion or before you consider it, like Eddie talked about, there are other people that's been in my shoes, and possibly they have paid their bill and paid to have this done. My point is, and you know, I'm willing to buy it the first half. I don't like it, and it leaves a sour taste in my mouth. But my point is, when I have to go and get the correct forms and pay a man to fill them out the second time because I received the first forms, there needs to be some accountability there. The second bill was just a little larger than the first one I received. And I do think that that is right and would be not asking anything out of the ordinary for the second time around that I'd be reimbursed for that expense. And I would, and that's, you know, somewhere around half of what I've been out. But I would ask that the commission consider that because of the forms that I was given and done everything within my power to fill them out correctly. And I would appreciate your consideration in that. And like I say, I can bring a file to you. You can look at the dates. You can look at the forms for yourself, and you can see, and then you'll know. So hopefully I have all the facts correct, and to the very best of my knowledge, they are. So
it would be great to get this resolved. So can we get those? You think you could do that now? I mean, could we take a five-minute recess and
yes, sir.
Get those and see if we can? Because the motion that
Eddie's got a copy of it right here expires December 31st, 2005.
Right.
The top right-hand corner of the forms that we filled out and submitted to FEMA. If you'd like me to bring it to you.
That's fine.
I'd like a five-minute recess anyway.
Okay.
It's top right-hand corner. It says it expired.
All right. You ready to take a recess?
Yeah, let's take a recess here.
Let's take a five-minute recess and we'll come back to this. I wonder if Doug would be available.